Welcome back, guys. DGS every Tuesday at 4. We do the think tank. Two of our favorites are Judge Tom Frawley and Megan Shackelford. They're with us today. We're just kind of discussing some of the things we're going to discuss with you. The first one being the Trump case. And I was telling the judge, who knows Chet Pleven very well, that Chet was saying, like, yeah, at the end of the day, at the end of the case, they could all believe that Trump's lying, that he had affairs with both of these women, that he finagled the records. But unless they can connect that directly with the campaign, that he could still walk. But both you and Megan were impressed with Hope Hicks and the bookkeepers yesterday. So you think maybe they made that connection?
I was. Well, for, walk on the felony, yes. He might get convicted on the misdemeanor, even if they don't believe that. But yeah, I thought Hope Hicks was, she was there. I mean, she was in the room. She heard what was said. And then the bookkeeper, to me, is and I'm getting the same reports everybody else is. I'm not in the room. What I came away with is that he tied Trump to saying, I got to sign the checks. And, and if it wasn't signed, if he wouldn't sign it,
had
it didn't
him FedEx to the White House? That was a weird touch.
The White House. And so, I mean, the felony is the critical piece. And there was an article on something today about that Trump maybe, because he can't behave better than a five-year-old with all of his remarks, is if he's convicted, the judge is going to have something to do with sentencing. I don't know whether New York is a jury sentencing, if there's no priors, or whether it's judge sentencing. But the judge is going to have something to say about all the words you've said about me and about your jurors. What I don't understand, Dave, is why he meaning the judge, keeps trying to control a five-year-old. I was always trained, don't enter an order I can't enforce. So my enforcement is to basically put him in jail, and then he becomes, by I think his own words, Nelson Mandela. So I don't understand why the judge hasn't thought about sequestering the jury. And maybe he can't do that or doesn't think he should do it because it would be a heck of a long sequester.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that, as I'm looking at it from the outside, that would be the solution that would seem to insulate the jurors from...
We all understand, like the judge said, Marchand said, you were the president and you could be the next president. So the gravity of the situation is not lost on me. But at the end of the day, I have to protect the integrity of the legal system. As a judge who did countless trials, has he passed the line where if he were a normal guy, you would have bring your toothbrush with you?
Oh, absolutely. the question becomes, though, as I said a minute ago, Is the punishment that I'm thinking I'm imposing going to have any impact on the behavior? And if it isn't, then why am I doing it?
Yeah, I get that.
And that's where I would have to think through is he's not going to stop.
Yeah.
It's clear. And apparently New York has a limit, I guess, of $1,000 per crack.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now you could up the ante.
Yeah.
So what am I dealing with? I'm dealing with a guy who's going to keep shooting his mouth off. And so how do I protect the jurors? And insulating them seems to me to be a way to get it done. Whether it's the best way, I don't know.
Megan, nothing seems to have an effect.
No, that's what I was thinking the whole time the judge was talking is, oh, that sounds interesting from a legal perspective, but does this actually mean anything at all to anyone who's persuadable in any way about Donald Trump? And I think the answer is no. I those of us who don't like Donald Trump, who think he's phony, we know, we believe he's guilty and we're not surprised by his behavior and we think it's disgusting and okay. And the people who support him think he's a victim and has been attacked. And I don't think there are enough people left in this country who aren't sure what they think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're thinking politically about the election, this comes down to do your ethics and morals overpower some of your political leanings? And I think that's going to be fascinating to find out. And I am, you know, skeptical that the answer is yes, my ethics and morals are more important than a few political issues.
There's a bigger group out there than we realize. And one of them is a good friend of mine. And he said, he's like, look, I know there are a bunch of people out there who believe every word Trump says. He's like, I'm not that guy. I'm not a rube. I know everything, Dave, that you think of him is true. But I don't care because I only care about my family. I trust the system vis-a-vis January 6th that it's not going to break And if Trump tries to pull shenanigans, you have the House and the Senate and the Supreme Court. I don't think he's going to bring democracy to its knees. And I want my 401k to get fat. And I want my taxes to be low. And I want the rest of the world to be afraid of him having nukes. And that's why I don't care what he does personally.
Yeah, I think that that is a whole new segment for some of us who try to think about political leanings or how people are deciding things in a less stark way, I guess. You know, that is where we're at. I think there's a lot of people out there who feel that way. It's so difficult for me to wrap my head around that. I'm not a religious person, but I think I have pretty strong moral and ethical values. And I think I care about community and things bigger than ourselves as individuals or individual families. And it's hard for me to understand how people can't see that this type of behavior could negatively impact your family, right? It is all going to come home at some point, and it's just a matter of how long we tolerate it. So I think there's a lot of people like your friend out there.
Can you, because there's not going to be another Trump. Don Jr. is not going to do
no.
it. Marjorie Taylor Greene's not going to do it. They're just going to be embarrassing shadows of what this guy is. Can you see getting from A to B? Can we get back to something seemingly normal? But it seems like it'll take a while.
I think it will take quite a while. I think that the folks who want to be Trump are going to have to crash and burn multiple times over. There's going to be many iterations of them until the folks who are the never Trumpers and the independents in this country, which have kind of, in my opinion, coalesced to be a whole new group of people, former Republicans, people who still want to be a Republican but feel the party has left them, and then those independents, when they get enough mass, then I think we'll see common sense return to people who want to have an R next to their name. But that could be quite a long time.
It's going to be interesting because you've got so many of these flippers who, after January 6th, they wanted nothing to do with Trump, Lindsey Graham and that company. Well, now they're all back getting in his good graces again. So if he got beaten soundly. And of course, he's already said I'm not going to accept the result, no matter what it is. And I've not read the Time article yet, but just some snippets on it. This is going to be an authoritarian state, potentially. And he's going to go after everybody who is not on his on his side, which seems to me to be all of the press, okay, other than Fox. And they make stuff up. I mean, and they go along when he says, well, you know, the gag order says I can't testify. Now, Dave, you and I are lawyers, and I'm suspecting Megan's not a lawyer, but she knows that's not true. Okay. And then you try and peddle that as news. Well, if that's going to be our news, where are we going as a country when people like yourself and others who are more moderate and try and tell everybody the way it is and give them information to form opinions? How can we survive that in four years?
I believe it or not, I really do on a daily basis try to not talk about Trump very much, and I try to rein it in. But the day after he did that, I really went off on the air because how dare you?
Right.
That's different than saying I've never met that woman, I didn't sleep with her, who I have no idea who she is, it's all made up. As a former president, and walking out in front of the cameras and saying, well, as you know, the gag order says I can't testify, right? And then what made me sick to my stomach was he turned to his attorney and he said, that's right, isn't it? And the guy's like, oh.
The guy's shaking his head, yes.
Come on.
I know.
Grow a set. Stand up for something.
And no, the problem for Trump is you can't fact check him because the things he says are almost so ridiculous. It would be a 24-hour job for probably 55 people to figure it out.
Let's come closer to home. I'll admit it. This latest stuff with Kim Gardner took me by surprise. I mean, which is hard to do with Kim Gardner because I was as down on her as I am Donald Trump. But the fact that she's now basically like a wannabe fugitive.
She's MIA.
Crazy.
What exactly is happening? All I saw was the headline of looking for her.
The auditor.
The auditor's
looking for her. Contacted all of her past attorneys, contacted past friends, called every number they have. They think she may be in one of the Carolinas.
Right.
But that's all they have. They don't know where she is.
It's a bit of a sabbatical or something.
And she still has a house here, at least the way the article reads.
Uh-huh.
And she's not there. So, yeah, that I was floored that she just vanished into thin air.
Did you have much experience with her?
She appeared in front of me and when she was circuit attorney. No, I had already retired. But she, when she started at the circuit attorney's office, she was in front of me for some pretty low level felonies, and I was not impressed.
I mean, she came close to really taking a system down. That's pretty. That's more impressive than being a great lawyer. There's a lot of great lawyers out there. There are very few that are so bad they can take a system down.
We got Trump, who's trying to take a system down too.
I mean,
you know, all you got to do is have the right people who buy into what you say. And she said a lot of the right things and legitimately correct things, but then she never implemented them in trying to do the social justice things to help these young men and young women who need,
right.
who need the help. She never did it.
Which is such a disservice to them.
Correct.
And such a disservice to your quote-unquote cause. One, I know, Megan, that you believe in.
Well, that's what's so interesting, talking about Trump and Kim Gardner right next to each other, highlights that experience does matter. Knowing what you're doing does matter. Trump, we know, does not know what he's doing. He has no experience. Look where he's at right now. I mean, the fact that he could still become president is mind-boggling, but we see how easily he has attempted to tear down systems. He has no experience or commitment to the profession of being a leader. And Kim Gardner said the right things. She did not have the experience to do that job. And those of us who worked on campaigns against her, we knew that. We knew the experience wasn't there. We thought it would be problematic. But the messaging was right, and she persuaded the right people with her messaging, and they overlooked the experience. I hope everybody starts to consider what people's background is when they start choosing elected officials.
The impression I had, Dave, from the outside, because I was gone, I'd retired in 17, was that she also was a very poor delegator, and she didn't surround herself with enough people who could take control of the projects that needed to be done. And so, and if you don't delegate, no matter how qualified your people are, nothing, they can't help you.
You know, sometimes when I'm doing my live endorsements and I'm selling against another company, I'd never name them, but I'll say, you know, there's some people out there that are, they're bad people. They're fraudulent. They're, you know, they're grifters. Some people aren't very good at what they do, and they may keep them up all night because they've screwed up another job today. And it could be that Kim Gardner's not some kind of a monster who said, ha, watch me, you know, wrings her hands. I'm going to take the system down. Maybe she's gotten in over her head and could not admit it.
I would not. I would accept the second piece. I do not think she went in with ill intent. That would surprise me, particularly with some of the people who supported her. I think she just didn't know what she was doing. And then she got sucked into the Grimes thing.
Yeah.
You take that off the mix.
You
take that out of the mix. Or you put it later in her career. Who knows? She looked at that, I think, speculating, that that was her step all the way up to be whatever she wanted to be. And then the thing went sour.
Megan, is he still out there? Is he still making noise about anything?
I have heard things from time to time, but I don't think that he has a real point for much more.
You know, it's similar. And again, to all the Trump listeners, and there are a lot of Trump fans out there. And I know it sounds hollow to say we respect you, but it's true. We just give our opinions. And on this one, I am not in the middle where I usually find myself. But when you're talking, Megan, about Kim Gardner, and Judge, you said there's so many good people who supported her. So many times people can't see the person because of the cause.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that that's very similar on both ends of that. There are people who so vehemently and truly believe in the things that they think Donald Trump stands for, that they support him regardless of all this other stuff. And I think the same thing probably happened with Kim Gardner.
Yeah, I think that that makes a lot of sense on both of those cases. And that continues to be a problem, particularly on the fringes of both parties. We continue to get hyper-focused on one or two issues. We don't look at the bigger picture. We don't look at the complexity of the issue. We don't look at the people that we're then bringing in and agreeing with, putting on our side, or letting lead us, and that can have really negative consequences. And we're seeing it at every level of government, I think.
I do not see how any person can get past January 6th, how any person can say that was not an insurrection or an effort to basically bring the country down so I, Donald Trump, can run the country. I cannot see how you can, in any way, shape, or form, say that that was appropriate behavior, that was acceptable, et cetera. I just can't do it.
Yeah, yesterday, oh, sorry, Megan, yesterday I was driving 8 hours and I heard a lot of Sean Hannity, and he was defending January 6th, and he was saying that look at all the way that people are treating the protesters, and, you know, they're breaking into, you know, buildings at Columbia, and they're occupying, and it's just so terrible, but then, you know, people are defending them, and it's their God-given right, and it's their constitutional right, but what about the January 6th people? And I'm like, it made my head spin.
Yeah.
You can't see the difference?
The peaceful transition of power is the only thing we've got, really, that makes us unique and different. That's all we have to put our trust in and our faith in, that, you know, we are civilized society. And when he continues to threaten it, it's not that he did it the one time under, you know, the craziness of the day, whatever excuse he could give, he was just there for his people. He said it again and again, and he will say it again. That is so hard for me to understand, people who consider themselves patriots to say, I'm all right with that transition being threatened.
You see the Tim Scott interview where they
sure did.
Kept pushing him to
Made
say,
me sad.
Will you accept? Will you accept the whatever the quote, the verdict is of the public? And he couldn't say.
I always liked him.
He couldn't say it.
Yeah.
How can you be in any position of authority, in this case, his power and also power, and say, And say, I'm not going to accept unless Trump wins. How can you do that?
Being in power must be such a bigger aphrodisiac than I know. Because like Lindsey Graham, you're a United States senator. I'm sure you have money. You're set for the rest of your life. And on January 6th, that evening, I'll never forget when he was like, I'm out. I was in, but now I'm out. Now he's back in. All right, we went long there. So only about a minute left. Megan, let's go to you and talk about Missouri. How soon do we get rocking and rolling, and how interesting do you think like the governor's race will be?
I think it's going to be interesting. Couple weeks left in session. I think we're going to see a big shift, a lot more commercials, activity after Memorial Day. So buckle up. That'll be fun. We'll be inundated. Going to have a busy ballot, it appears. But I expect the Kehoe-Ashcroft race is going to be very interesting to watch.
You think
very
those are
busy.
The...
Yeah, I think that's it for the Republican governor's race. The battles between the two of them. Kehoe has a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting
to
watch.
He has a good ad. I don't agree with his politics, but he looks the part.
Yeah, absolutely.
He looks like someone you'd vote for governor.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Ashcroft, not so much.
No, he looks like he's not quite sure what's going on or where he's supposed to be next. So that'll be an interesting campaign.
All right. Quick break. Right back. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Again.